Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Yeager CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at YeagerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Yeager.
Hello, everyone. This is Phil Yeager. All right. This is CPA Review and More. You know, we talk about CPA Review, and also we talk about more things other than CPA Review. And remember, we go all around the world looking for the best guests you can find. Guess what? I found one of the best guests, right? You think you're one of the best guests? What do you think?
I hope so.
Okay, good. You got to be positive. All right. Ryan Sklar. Is that right?
Ryan Sharar.
Sharar. I was close, wasn't I? Sharar?
We'll take it.
Thank you. All right. Ryan is a CPA attorney. All right. You have two offices. Which one? You're in Fort Worth and Dallas, correct? Dallas, Fort Worth?
We're located in Fort Worth, Texas.
Where do you, what you do now, the tax work, all right, where is your main office for taxes?
We're located in Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay. And Fort Worth, is it still big on, a lot of oil? That was a big oil area. I remember I moved to Denver, Colorado in 1986, and I almost got a job in oil and petroleum accounting, but I didn't take it because I didn't know the first thing about it. But that wasn't their concern. But that's a sort of a specialized area. That's back when the oil prices were really up there, 1983 to 86. And then, of course, like everything, when I go to an area, I bring the economy down. So we were there. The minute we were there, the oil prices, and they were trying to work in Grand Junction on oil shale. But because the price of oil dropped, and it was beautiful. They built it. Grand Junction was beautiful. They were building it up. It had beautiful, I think it's Monument. I'm trying to remember the park that's there. But it was a lot going on there. But after the oil prices came down, you know, like everything else, a lot of places went bankrupt. Hotels that they built, that type of thing. And you have an office in New Zealand, correct?
Well, we have a family business that's based in Houston, Texas, called FCA Corp. It was founded 45 years ago by my dad. And part of their business is to serve as a manager to certain international investments. Mm-hmm. So we have one particular privately held investment that's managed from the U.S. that involves a partial ownership in a lodge in New Zealand. But interestingly, we have personal ties to New Zealand. My grandmother immigrated to the U.S. from Scotland in, I want to say it was 1918.
Wow.
When she was 4 years old. And her aunt and uncle boarded a vessel that went to New Zealand. So I think that would make it, my dad has first cousins, if I'm not mistaken, that could be off there. But we have some cousins of mine that I still remain close to this day, because as a child, we would travel to New Zealand to see the family. And as part of that, my dad decided to make part of his practice managing investments in and around New Zealand and Australia. And so they were one of the first mutual funds that was formed. It's a publicly traded mutual fund, the Australia New Zealand Commonwealth Fund, that invests solely in Australia and New Zealand. So our ties to New Zealand date back a long, long time. I almost feel like it's a bit of a second home, because I have close relationships with family members there, and certainly business ties that my dad has cultivated over the years.
And how often do you go to New Zealand?
Well, as a child, I would go every 3 or 4 years. I went most recently 3 years ago, I was able to bring my wife's parents over on a trip with my parents, and we had a wonderful time. I took my young boys and my infant daughter at the time, and spent a wonderful 10 or 12 days in Australia and New Zealand.
Did they get hit hard by the COVID virus?
New Zealand's one of the safest countries in the world. I don't have specific statistics, but cases, case count, head count, death count on all accounts is one of the lowest spreads in the world.
Very clean city. They must take care of the place.
Auckland, New Zealand is the capital city. They have a beautiful downtown area. It's relatively small area, but much of New Zealand is still agriculturally based. So it's just a much smaller geographical sort of location, but very clean, friendly people, lots of history and tradition there, certainly.
Auckland is where they have that opera house, correct?
That's in Sydney. That's on the Sydney Harbour.
You can see how good I am in geography. Okay. Now, I've never been to New Zealand. The furthest probably I've been, if you want to call it that, is we took a trip to the Fiji Islands, all around that area. And it was probably, I don't know, what is their climate now? I mean, what's the climate? Today, here in Maryland, it's a rotten 30 degrees. It's raining. All right. What does their climate reverse with ours? Is that the way it works there? Or is it mild, warm all year round?
No, it's certainly reverse here. You know, they're further down in the southern hemisphere. I misspoke earlier. Wellington is the capital city of New Zealand. Auckland is sort of the business hub. So New Zealand is primarily made of two large islands. The northern island is where Auckland is. And there are a number of fascinating areas to visit in New Zealand, including, you know, black sand beaches. Traditional Maori tribes have a lot of historical significance in the country. But Wellington is the capital city. It sits on the southernmost point of the Northern Island. And so when you get further south into New Zealand, they have a mountainous region. It's where Lord of the Rings was filmed, for example. So they can have tremendous snowpacks and outdoor adventure hunting opportunities and so on that get down when you get to Christchurch and further south. But the Northern Island would have a much more moderate sort of a temperature that certainly would fluctuate. So depending on the time of year, they're reversed from us. So if you went in the heart of our American summer, it could be quite cold in New Zealand and rainy.
Now, if I went there right now, would I see kangaroos? Honestly, would I see kangaroos?
I don't believe you'd see kangaroos in New Zealand. You might see some kiwi bird, and you'd certainly see some sheep.
I'm confusing. You know what? I've done this before. I've met people from New Zealand, Australia, and I listen to their accent. I say, don't say anything. Now speak. I'll tell you where you're from. And I always get New Zealand reversed with Australia. All right? And also, don't they sound a little British, too? You can hear a British accent.
Absolutely, yeah.
The people are nice, right? They are nice. You said that.
Some of the friendliest in the world. They're wonderful.
Just like here in the US of A, right? Is that what you said? Just really?
You know, maybe it's because you're on vacation. Yeah. You know, you're looking for the best in people when you're out looking to speak with people in sort of a non-traditional setting. Who knows?
Well, I remember we went to Bermuda one year. And, most people don't know it's off South Carolina. And we got off. And these are the things I look at. I look at, first thing is, the streets are clean. All right? And I'll start talking. I mean, there were a bunch of children, and they were coming out of school, and they have to wear uniforms. And I was talking to them. Now, if that were in the States, the kids would be a little leery of, you know, talking to a stranger. But they just opened up, and they were so nice. And, I mean, there are places I'd prefer to live than here in Maryland. You know, I had this crazy wish of moving to, we went to Amsterdam a couple summers ago. And yes, it's crowded during the summer, but I was very impressed. I thought it was a clean city, you know? I mean, just the way they run everything, the bicycles. And I said to my wife, I said, gee, if I was only 40 years younger, all right, I'd probably want to go live there for couple of months. Just something different because it just was, I hated to leave that city. You know, but it was a cruise. So we had, we went to Amsterdam, we went to Copenhagen, we went to Sweden. And I like Sweden. I'm a ABBA fan. I don't know if you listen to ABBA. All right.
Same, yeah.
I wanted to go to the ABBA Museum, but, you go on a cruise, you're there for a couple hours the most. And we got to St. Petersburg, which was very fascinating to me, But I'm a snobby Easterner. And we went into the museum there. We went to the museum, all right? And it was a little warm. So I walk in and I said, excuse me, do you have air conditioning in this place? And they said, yes, it's on. It's called the air outside. But, but I haven't visited a lot of places. And I sort of regret it at this point in my life. Because what's taken my life has been the CPA Review School, you know, 40 some odd years. And if you want to run it right and you want to give service, you want to help students, you want to help the profession, it's more than, it's like, it's not 7 days a week, it's 10 days a week. And that's what I decided I wanted to do. Because, I mean, I like helping people, but I've gotten a lot of people through the CPA exam. And, you know, I'm in D.C. one day, and the student stops me. Now, you know, back then, I was probably about the same age as the students. But I have the student who says, Phil Yeager. So I said, yeah. I said, I'm sorry, I don't know who you are. He says, I took your course back in 1978, you know. And I say, well, gee, I'm really honored that you remember me. But, you know, it's like I must have done something right because they enjoy talking with me, speaking with me, you know, and they remembered my name. So that meant something. It really did. Your dad, sure. Is he also a tax attorney?
He is. He's an attorney and CPA, and I am. And I also have a sister who's an attorney CPA. So it's become a bit of a family tradition.
How does everyone get along? Do you all work pretty close together or you don't?
Everything's in transition now. As I mentioned, my dad's firm, based in Houston, Texas, was formed by him some 45 years ago. My sister spent 7+ years with Deloitte in their tax department in Houston. She's been with FCA Corp now for over a year, serving in a dual capacity tax and planning role. And my practice is in Fort Worth, Texas, through our law firm PC, but we are in the process of merging our tax practice with FCA. So we'll have a single unitary tax practice that'll service our clients going forward, and perhaps dual offices for FCA in Fort Worth and Houston come the new year.
How many employees do you have?
My firm has four.
Okay.
I have a tax attorney who's been with me since I formed my firm or shortly thereafter. My wife is also an attorney who works for me, and she does estate planning work. I say works for me, perhaps the wrong way to present that.
Are you concerned if she watches this thing or hears it? Go ahead.
Yeah, I got to make sure I get this one right. So she's an estate planning and business attorney. She had a prior life at a firm, and now she spends a lot more time with our kids, but she practices in the area of estate and probate and guardianship. And then I have a tax preparer who's been with me now for several tax seasons, a wonderful lady, and helps me keep the office running here and helps with returns and working with our clients.
You are a bright man. Where'd you go to college? What's your background on that?
I have a bachelor's in accounting from Stephen F. Austin State University. It's a small state school in East Texas. I have a master's in business from Baylor University, and I have a law degree.
Can I stop you right there?
Sure.
You see the people from, that are on Household International or something? The couple, they're in Waco,
absolutely.
But they both went to Baylor, right?
Chip and Joanna.
Yes.
Chip and Joanna, I believe.
Now, you probably know them, right?
I've never met them. That was after my time.
Well, I give them credit. They really built up a business.
Absolutely.
Well, if you thought about any other education, maybe you're lacking or you have a law degree, you know taxes, what else would you want to do?
Yeah, so I got my law degree in 2009 from Michigan State University College. Ah. Professionally, I've considered going back for a tax LLM, although at this point in time, I have my CPA license and my law license, and I'm able to function at a high level with my clients. So perhaps certifications. I'm considering taking the Series 65, which I think may be a prerequisite requirement for working with a registered investment advisory firm. But if I were to take a more continuing education, it might be another professional license somewhere, you know, in the nature of certified financial planner or fraud examiner or something along those lines. I probably at this point in time would not go back to a full-time LLM and tax program, although, you know, crazier things have happened. So depending on where I am in life, that would be.
Where would you find the time? I mean, could you find the time? I was going to ask you another question. Have you thought about going to medical school also?
No, I don't think. I think I'm out on that one. That's too adventurous.
You could be the CPA doctor. This could be really, it could be a show, actually. We could sell it to the Home and Garden Television Network.
At some point, you have to specialize in some way, shape, or form. And so I think that's probably a little bit further than I'm ready to bite off at this point in time in my life.
I'm lucky I'm talking to you. You know, you're talking to me. I'm just a regular, I'm a regular CPA, you know, and here it is. You have more degrees than a thermometer. And I think that's great. You know, it's an honor to talk to you. And I mean that.
Thank you. It's a long path to get through schooling and professional exams and everything else, but it's rewarding at the end of the day.
And certainly it does. It pays. Would you recommend, if you're an accountant, all right, you must go for the CPA? Is that advice you would give to someone? Or they'd say the CPA exam is very difficult, the hardest professional exam. We're not comparing to the bar exam, whatever. All right. What would you tell a candidate coming out who's thinking about going for the CPA or maybe not going for the CPA? All right. What would you advise them from a career standpoint?
Personally, the CPA license has been the most important professional thing that I've done in my career. It has unlocked more doors and access to have a seat at the table, but not only to have a seat at the table, but to meaningfully engage and understand on substantive issues that much of the world just doesn't understand. Because if you don't go through an accounting prerequisite course, you know, learning the mechanical elements of being an accountant, the debits and the credits is the starting point. But actually, you know, focusing on the CPA exam and getting licensed unlocks that professional opportunity where you can really do anything with your career, even if it doesn't, you know, remain in public accounting for the long haul. You know, I'll steal a quote from one of my law school professors, and he said it in the context of having a bar license. He said, it's a front row seat to the greatest show on earth. And I think the CPA license is something that's akin to that for me, because again, I may not be a subject matter expert on everything I come in contact with, but it's given me an opportunity to get the respect of peers, colleagues, clients, to be hired, and to be able to really at least have a prerequisite for figuring out that if I don't know the answer, I have a pretty good place to start researching something from. And so I think I would absolutely, to answer your question, recommend that any candidate that wants to pursue a career in accounting get that designation, because it's professionally unlocked a lot of opportunities for me, and I know for a lot of the people that I have come in contact with.
Do you keep up with what's going on in the profession, such as the AICPA's new evolution plan? Do you keep up with that at all?
I can't reference that specifically. I am involved as a director on our Texas Society of CPAs, but have limited involvement so far with the AICPA.
The AICPA, they seem to be, and correct me if I'm wrong, all right, the pitch, they go out there and they believe that really the CPA is the license to be in public accounting. And as a result of that, I don't know if it's a result of that, all right, the number of people in the past 10 years have decreased by about 50%. So the question is, you know, what should they do about this? I mean, is the CPA a license to do public accounting, or should it be something else, like, you know, a license to do consulting, a license to do financial planning? All right. What would you think? Do you think that the CPA is basically you take it so you can be in auditing public accounting? What do you see on that? I mean, I'm just curious what your opinion is.
Well, I do think it's certainly, obviously, historically a licensure exam. So, you know, it does provide for the credentialing that gives confidence ultimately to the end user of financial statements. Many of the areas that you might practice in don't necessarily need to have a CPA license, but I've found that clients value that license because it gives you instant credibility. They know that there was a complicated and very substantive and technical exam vetting process that you had to undergo in addition to having to sit with a firm that will sign off on your work experience and so on. And so I think that it's going to serve a valuable place in society for years to come. There are a lot of see and fill in the blank with different certifications now available out there, but most people, and certainly non-accountants, have never heard of a lot of the other designations that are available. So not to single any of those out, but the CPA is truly the one where anyone who's a non-accountant in business, for example, knows what a CPA is and knows that they've gone through rigor to get that designation. So I think it serves a purpose.
Are a lot of people taking the CMA exam where you are, or is that something you don't hear about?
It's pretty infrequent in the circles that I run in, but you know, there's other people that might have different practices and think otherwise. But that's a good example of, you know, CMA or CFP or
CIA, ASPCA. No, I'm just kidding you.
Yeah, all of those. You know, those are valued credentials, but they end up being, I think, more narrow in their application.
Yes.
CPA is still the ticket that gets you the general admission pass to pursue whatever career you want and to achieve.
It is the union card, as I once heard that, the CPA.
There you go. All right.
Now, before we leave today, all right, Ryan, here we go. You wrote in your letter, now I'm holding you to this, all right, that you like to get involved with fun topics in addition to tax, legal work I do. Now, personally, I can't think of anything more fun than doing taxes, okay? All right, so how do you feel? Are you a fun guy? Is that what you're saying? All right, do your clients think you're very funny?
I like to think that I am. I've got a sense of humor.
Tell me your approach to how you're dealing with clients and why you can come up with fun. What fun topics do you come up with?
Well, look, so much of working with clients is actually getting to understand who the client is. And I think there's an opportunity for practitioners to really be in a position to learn about your client's unique experiences, to find areas of common interest that go beyond just accounting. So obviously I'm being hired for a specific matter, whether it's tax or legal, but to understand their background, their families, their hobbies and interests. I think there's so much more that you can connect with people on that goes beyond just the confines of what the attorney-client relationship or CPA-client relationship is. So I like to talk about hobbies and sports. I'm a big sports fan. I have baseball.
Oh, what is your favorite sport?
Probably baseball. Love baseball. But you know, you can connect with clients and friends on different levels of hobbies and joint pursuits of interest. You know, cycling, road cycling is something that I've developed an interest in. Traveling is certainly something. So sharing, you know, and learning from other people's stories and things, I find that to be fascinating. And that's really how you form a connection and deepen your relationship with them. And hopefully you've earned their trust enough for them to refer you to someone that's in their sphere of influence.
Now, I don't know if you know which team that I might actually enjoy, you know, that type of thing. Would you guess what my team would be?
Either the Washington Nationals or the Baltimore Orioles?
No. I'm still a Yankees fan.
Uh-oh.
I collect old baseballs, all right? I started doing that about 4 years ago. And it was one of these things. I got the interest and I started, you know, looking into old baseballs, you know. And then, like everything else, it starts getting boring. But no, I have I think the thing is, like, for example, I have a Lou Gehrig baseball. And this is the way I look at it. I hold the baseball and I say, gee, Lou Gehrig held this. I mean, that's how but, you know, and I've also met some of the old Yankees, all right, because of people we bump into. Now, you're probably not going to hear of this person. Tell me if you heard. Bobby Richardson. Sound familiar at all?
I'm drawing a blank.
Should I give you the buzzer? No, Bobby played in the 61 Yankees. He was Mickey Mantle's roommate. He's very, very nicest guy. He's a very religious person. And I've met him 3 times. And every time we see him, he takes my wife and I, you know, out. And he makes sure that I sit in the front seat. Anyway, nicest guy. I haven't seen him in a while. And these people are getting up in their age, 80-something. I hope we get to see him at least once.
But that's great. You know, you have a childhood memory that you're still able to connect with. So that's fantastic.
Yes. You know, back growing up, we didn't have color television, you know? So if we went to a New York Yankees, you know, you'd walk up the steps, you know, you saw the stadium, that brown dirt, the green grass, and the smell of the grass. That to me was the most phenomenal thing because we didn't have color television. In a way, you know, it was still going there, seeing the two monuments, one, I think, to Lou Gehrig, one to Babe Ruth. It gave me chills, and I was very lucky. 1967, my wife and I got married. All right, so you're probably saying, what are they, 25? You're absolutely right. And so anyway, Mickey Mantle, this was one of his last games. It's 3-2. I don't know who they were playing, but it was 3-2. All right. And it was the, actually, the other team was ahead. So the Yankees, all right, Mantle came on, all right, and he hit a double to center field. And then the other team, I think they hit a double also. But the point was, eventually became, all right, all three bases were loaded. Mantle gets up there, you know, and this is two outs. And this is like The Natural. You ever seen the movie The Natural?
Yeah.
That is probably my favorite baseball movie. Anyway, he got up there and he, you know, he had bad legs, knees, whatever. And I remember he had 3-2. All right. And then he hit a home run. That, and you know, it's interesting. I was talking to Bobby Richardson about that. And he says, you know, Phil, I was at that game. You know, but I would like to have met Mickey Mantle. So I'm sure everyone would like to meet certain people, you know. Do you have anybody you'd like to meet who, you know, would, that you would get some enjoyment and learn something from them? And I'm not talking about people in the business area. All right. Have you met any people? I mean, you like baseball, right? All right. Absolutely. All right. Have you met any of those players?
I wish I could say I have. I've met one or two in passing, maybe as a child getting an autograph. I certainly follow baseball closely, but haven't had the opportunity to get to know anyone personally.
You know, I think you got to spend more time with that instead of mutual fund investments. But that's just
that's something that I want to at least expose my boys to. And I learned how to do that.
How many boys do you have? I'm sorry again.
I have two boys. Joseph is 9 and Patrick is almost 7.
And did you say you had some girls too? You have girls, don't you?
I have a 3-year-old daughter, Sally.
Oh, God. You're first taking... My granddaughter is graduating high school. My granddaughter, gosh. That you know what? I'm sure you've heard this. Enjoy them. They grow up very fast, you know?
We tried. The days are long and the years are short. The weeks are short.
What's that's edit? So true. That's very well put. Well, anyway, I want to thank you so much. Is there any comments you want to say? Anything you want to say about what you do, the profession? All right.
No, I would close maybe with this. You know, something that was instilled upon me at a young age was to always give back. And I watched my dad tirelessly give back to a profession that he knew and loved through his involvement with the American Academy of Attorney CPAs. And he's mentored and taught and coached a number of professionals, planners, and tax folks through the years. And so as I've sort of hit my stride in my career, I always take to heart the need to give back. So appreciative of the opportunity to join you today, and I'd encourage anyone
else. Well, thank you. No, it was our pleasure. Please, it was our pleasure to have you on.
Yeah, I think it's important just to never lose sight of how fortunate we can be, certainly, with having these professional opportunities. And so get involved in your local chapters, state, national chapters, and you can have a meaningful part in playing a role to pass the baton to the next generation and to make the profession that we know and love that much more rewarding. So, you know, that's all I wanted to say.
What I try to do is the CPA candidates don't have an advocate because the CPA is just an advocate for the public. That's what they're concerned. So the one thing with this profession, and I've seen, this is the one thing that bothers me, the competition, all right? They're not there for the benefit of the CPA candidate. They're there to get enough money in their pockets. In fact, there's never enough money in their pockets. So I make the candidates aware of the competition. You know, I try to be nice about it, but you know, if I think a student is getting really shafted by these firms, I open my mouth, and that's the way I'm trying to give back, and to the charities also. And I do hope they find a cure one day for Parkinson's. My wife, she's doing pretty well, but you know, Michael J. Fox is probably one of the best organizations, all right? And by the way, if you hear this and you feel like, hey, you want to give something, all right, give money to the Michael J. Fox Foundation, all right? They have, not only have they raised money for research, but they've actually come up with some drugs that have gone on the market to help the Parkinson's. So never met Michael J. Fox, but, you know, he's actually, to think what happened, he got the Parkinson's so young. And you know what? Instead of looking down and saying, oh, this is sad, I'm unlucky, he's actually very good attitude. So
yeah, that's
anyway,
great.
That's what And also, don't take anything for granted, okay? All right? And do this. Kiss your spouse once a day, all right? Maybe twice. I always say to my spouse now, I love you. And I always give her a kiss when I leave. I think that's important. And I want to congratulate you. You sound like you have a terrific family, all right? And I know that your father, all right, you seem to idolize your father. Is that wrong word?
I have always respected him beyond imagine for the way he raised us and what he's done professionally.
Well, you know, you don't hear that a lot. You hear a lot of children complaining if parents didn't do enough for them. So it's nice. That's refreshing to hear that. It really is. So anyway, Ryan, I don't know what you expected from this show, all right? But I appreciate you being on. And by the way, when I get to Fort Worth, you don't have to take me to the Outback.
No, be happy to host you here to show you some Texas hospitality.
What is Texas hospitality?
Well, in a normal time of year, we've got the rodeo here in Fort Worth, the stock show and rodeo that's been going for about 100 years.
Really? Okay.
There's a way to encounter the friendliness of the Texans mixed with the Western spirit, perhaps.
Well, you showed me a lot of hospitality being on the show and sharing your thoughts with me. So I appreciate that. And as with this pandemic, stay well, stay safe. And I wish that to you and your family. And as the new year is approaching, which is hard to believe, wow, I wish you a happy, healthy new year. And once again, thank you so much for being on the CPA Review and More. I think the students who will listen to this will get a lot of good information. It really will be. And do you ever do any mentoring yourself, or you basically are not involved with that area? Do you do mentoring? All right, you do. Okay, that's great.
Yeah, all right. I've been involved personally in a number of different mentoring initiatives, both the State Bar of Texas and the...
I forgot to mention, you were one of the 40 under 40, right?
Well, I was, yeah, that's right.
And that's terrific. Can you get me nominated to something like, 65 under 65 or something? Could you put me up for...
Some influencer lists and some...
I'd like to be an influencer too. I'd like something to put up on the wall, you know? That's about it. You stay well. I'll talk to you again. And this is Phil Yeager of Yeager, CPA Review and More. And we thank you for listening every week. We have a different show every Tuesday. And if you have a guest that you want in a certain area, please notify me. Please call me. I have a phone. Remember the old phones? 301-874-4900 and it's extension 5, 301-874-4900, extension 5. If you just want to give me a holler, all right, I'd love to talk to you because my wife says I don't shut up. So, you know, I would enjoy talking with you. And by the way, Ryan, you got a great smile. I like that.
Thanks.
All right. All right. Take care. Stay well. Wherever you go, be safe.
Thanks.
Take care. And we'll see you again next week, friends.
Thank you so much for listening to Yeager CPA Review and More. As a token for our appreciation for your listenership, we'd like to offer you 10% off your next purchase with Yeager CPA Review. Save between $50 to $150 with code PODCAST10. If you'd like more information, look us up on YeagerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.